You know, babies are apt to put anything in their mouths, even something bad for them. Adults, of course, know better, yet we haven't always avoided swallowing spiritual poison with devastating effects, as you'll see today on Grace to You. When we begin devoting less time to the study of God's Word and more to creating a harmonious congregation, when we stray from unmistakable biblical principles, when we begin leaving room for a teaching that says Christ is not the only way to God, the church runs the risk of swallowing deadly false doctrines and committing spiritual suicide. Well, helping you spot those dangerous spiritual leaders and steering clear of their destructive influence is John MacArthur's goal today on Grace to You. His lesson comes from a study that is making it clear who is and who isn't a part of God's kingdom. The series is titled The Keys to the Kingdom. And now, with today's lesson, here's John MacArthur.
Luke 6:39-45. The danger of following the wrong spiritual teacher. That is the theme of what Jesus teaches in these verses. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, before we look at these verses in detail, you're going to be fascinated by what they say. The subject of the sermon is true discipleship. Disciples are repenters of sin. Disciples are lovers of enemies. And disciples, we're going to find out here, are followers of the true Christ, the true Lord. And our Lord makes this point in a most amazing way. He does it in a negative sense by showing the danger of false spiritual teachers. Now, there are four dangers in following a false teacher. Four things that make them deadly. Number one, they are blind. They are blind. That is, they are without veracity. They are without truth. Let's look at verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? The spiritual point is very simple. Follow a leader who doesn't know the way to God's kingdom, and you're not going to end up there. In fact, you follow a blind guide, someone who doesn't know God, and doesn't know the way to God, and doesn't know the path of salvation, and you will end up in hell. That's the pit. You better choose very carefully what religious teacher you follow. First danger is they are blind. Second danger, they are earthly. Not only do they lack veracity, truth, they lack deity. They're not of God. And the point is made, back to Luke 6, the point is made in another very pithy little statement that Jesus used a lot. Verse 40, a pupil's not above his teacher. But everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Now, Jesus said that in a lot of places. He said it in Matthew 10:24. He said it in John 13:16. He said it in John 15:20. This is a statement that he used. It may have been a proverbial statement. These may have been in the common vernacular of the people. He may have just been borrowing things that they often said. But it's a simple principle. A pupil can't rise above his teacher. All you can know is what you've been told. You can't get above him. Where your teacher stops, you stop. And whatever your teacher's limits are, those are your limits. And whatever your teacher's errors are, those become your errors. Unless you go to another teacher, you can't rise above the teacher you choose. You can't know more than you have been taught. So where your teacher stops, you stop. And Jesus said, that's the frightening thing here, folks. Do you understand? You follow the wrong guy, and you can't get past him. So if he doesn't know the way to God, if he doesn't know the truth of God, if he doesn't know the gospel, the way of salvation, you won't either. If you know more than your teacher, you're the teacher. The point is that any teacher can only tell you what he knows. And if he doesn't know the truth, then you're not going to know it either. In fact, look what he says. Everyone, after he has been katartizo, fully trained, will only be like his teacher. I mean, if you literally imbibe everything your teacher gives you, you're going to be just like him. That's the max you can do. You can't say, I'm going to learn from him so I can know more than he knows. You can't do that. It's self-evident. You can only know what he tells you. If your teacher doesn't know the truth, you're not going to know it either. Hosea put it this way, like people, like priests. Now, in the day of Jesus, teachers taught orally, and they taught in that same sort of 24/7 pattern where followers kind of grouped around them and moved through life with them. They weren't writing books. They were just speaking orally off life situations, really a good way to mentor people. And they would go around and they would take the issues of life, the common experiences of life, and they would infuse those with the truth they wanted to teach, and their disciples would trail around after them. That was pretty much the way of teaching up until almost modern times. Constantly teaching off personal life situations. So the teacher reproduced himself in a very dramatic way. And the best thing he could do would be fully train a guy, and when he fully trained him, he would be just like he was. And most people in ancient times followed one teacher, their chosen mentor. So be careful, because you're never going to get higher than your teacher. Choose who you want to be like, because if the teaching is complete, that's all you'll ever be. If you're going to choose a spiritual guru, you'll never go up beyond him. On the other hand, if you follow Jesus, you can become like him. 1 John 3:2, someday when we see him as he is, we will be what? Like him, 1 John 3. But that's because he's deity. But all these other teachers are earthy. At best, I suppose you could say demonic, or at worst, demonic. If your teacher is earthy, worldly, human, if it's just human wisdom, if it's just man-made or demon-inspired religion, philosophy, ethics, and they don't know God, in the end, you won't know him either. And it'll just be earthly. Beware of spiritual terrorists who kill your soul by blindness and earthliness. Thirdly, Jesus said there's a third danger. They are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. This is so well crafted, this part of his message. These are the critical issues. They are hypocrites. They lack veracity or truth. They lack deity. They're not connected to God. And they lack integrity. They are hypocrites. And this is actually funny. I know Jesus had a sense of humor. I know that because I just look at people. And I know he had a sense of humor because he made them. And we're just so funny. I know Jesus uses a little humor here. In fact, it's almost comical what he says. Verse 41 and 42, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here's the problem false teachers have. They can't fix you because they can't fix themselves. They can't solve your problem because they've got a massive one of their own. This is really it's cartoonish. The word speck, karphos, means a chip. This is not a tiny little piece of sand like you get in your eye. This would be like a wood chip, a piece of chaff or straw. Serious problem in your eye. And along comes the spiritual leader, let me bring virtue into your life. Let me bring understanding into your life. Let me lead you to God. And he's going to look in there and find the little things that are wrong and take them out. The problem is, he's got a dakos in his eye. What's that? That is the main beam in a building. I mean, just make the cartoon in your mind. This is absurd. This guy can't even get close enough to the person he's looking at because he's got a beam coming out of his eye. How's he going to find what's in there and solve that guy's problem? He can't do that. It's absurdity. He's trying to deal with your sin, and he's got the most massive of all sins, which is a carefully crafted belief in his own righteousness, his own self-righteousness, which is the sin of all sins. Picture is really absurd. It's absolutely bizarre. Nobody with a main beam in a building sticking out of their eye is going to get close enough to see anything in anybody else's eye, and that's what Jesus wants to portray as absurdity. And the spiritual point is simple. You can't deal with what's wrong in somebody else's life while yours is far worse. By the way, Matthew records this same illustration in chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and makes the same emphasis. Religious teachers, they'll say, well, I want to give you morality and virtue. We want to bring goodness into your life. And let me here take a look at what's wrong in your life, and let me fix you a little bit. And they can't do that. False religion can't fix itself. They wear their garb. They wear their religious robes, their ceremonial robes. They talk in their mellow tones. They appear to be good and compassionate. They want to fix your life. They can't do it because they can't get the beam out of their own life. Because false religion can't restrain their own wretchedness. It can't restrain their own flesh. And so in order to overcome it, they've created a self-deception that they are self-righteous. They have gained their own righteousness by their own religious and moral efforts. And this puts a massive log in their eye that makes it impossible for them to help you. Let me tell you how simple it is. Nobody who thinks he's righteous can help a sinner. And this is exactly what the Pharisees did. Go back to verse 24 to 26 in this sermon. Who are the rich? Who are the well-fed? Who are the laughing? Who are the people about whom all men were speaking well? Those are the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and they had it all made. They were rich, and they were satisfied, and they were content and happy and respected. And Jesus said, curse you, curse you, curse you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Turn to Matthew 23 again in that same passage I read earlier. This issue of hypocrisy comes up again in verse 13, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And it just keeps going. Verse 23, hypocrites. Verse 25, hypocrites. Verse 27, hypocrites. And he defines it. Verse 25, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside full of robbery and self-indulgence. First, clean the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside of it may become clean. Verse 27, you are whitewashed like a tomb on the outside, appearing beautiful, inside full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. In verse 28, inwardly full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I mean, that's hypocrisy. They're wretched on the inside. See, false religion can't clean their dirty heart. And so they have a facade of virtue and a facade of morality and a facade of holiness. And they may not be full of vice. They may exchange vice for something worse. You know what's worse than vice? Self-styled virtue. Self-righteousness. You hypocrite. That's the wretched, gross sin that is always blind to its own sinfulness. Self-righteousness. It's the sin that Jesus repeatedly condemned the scribes and Pharisees for, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, but all the way through his entire ministry. Self-righteousness is a sin of blindness. It puts a beam in your eye so you can't see reality. It distorts your vision of everything. Because there you are looking at your own wretched sinfulness, and you can't see it. You won't see it. So the log is self-righteousness that prevents you from seeing your own self. It's the worst of sins because it damns you. You don't need a Savior. You see no need for grace, no need for forgiveness. And so Jesus said, this is the danger of these people. They can't even conquer the sin that's in them. They're wretched on the inside. They may be virtuous on the outside, and they may choose a life of superficial virtue over a life of manifest vice. But the truth is, they can't help you. They can't get the sins out of your life because they have so many in their own life, and they are blind to all of those by the construction of this massive log of self-righteousness. False teachers become very adept at creating clandestine coverings, very adept at hiding their true wickedness. That's what I say. They're spiritual terrorists who are hidden in safe religious places, but who pour out spiritual anthrax. Hypocrites. The word hypocrita is an actor. It's a word for an actor playing a part. They're phony. They're actors. On the other hand, Jesus is not a hypocrite. He is sinless, spotless, undefiled, the one in whom the Father is well pleased, without sin. And so his vision is crystal clear, as indicated in Revelation chapter 1, when it pictures the Lord Jesus looking into the church with penetrating laser eyes and finding all the sin that is there so that he can deal with it. Jesus can really see what's in your eye and he can get it out. If you follow the wrong teacher, one who's blind and earthy and hypocritical, you're going into the pit, void of God and void of dealing with your sins. And lastly, fourthly, the fourth danger of following the wrong spiritual teacher is they're evil. I guess we could say they're without piety. They're evil. They're just evil. And he makes this clear in the next simple little proverb parable. Verse 43, there's no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. That's axiomatic. That is, I mean, the fruit of a tree is an unfailing indicator of the health of the tree. If you have a good fruit on the tree, you got a good, healthy tree. If you have a bad tree, you're going to get bad fruit. If the tree is toxic, the fruit is toxic. If the tree is sweet, the fruit is sweet. I mean, that's self-evident. Now, this is a simple principle, a simple parable, a simple analogy. You can look at the fruit and tell the tree. And he expands it in verse 44, every tree is known by its own fruit. If you're looking for figs, don't look for a thorn bush. They don't grow there. If you're looking for grapes, don't look for a briar bush. They don't grow on briar bushes. What you're going to get on a thorn bush is thorns. What you're going to get on a briar bush is briars. Those are the pictures of the bad trees. In other words, they produce what is their nature. They produce what is bad, what is toxic, what is harmful. And that's the final danger that Jesus lays out here. This is serious. You get the wrong teacher, and you know what's going to come out of his life? Evil. And you know what's going to come out of your life? Evil. That's an absolute. Thorn bushes don't grow figs. Briar bushes don't grow grapes. Now, our Lord even gave a further explanation of this that in that sermon that Matthew records. In Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Who? False prophets, the prior verse. So in Matthew's discussion of the same statements, he connects them to the false prophets. And that's why I say that whole section in Luke has to be interpreted in relationship to the false prophets who were represented then by the Jewish established leaders. Beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes. Figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit. The bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And Jesus says all that connected to the false prophets. They just produce bad fruit. If you're looking for something good, something edible, something beneficial, they don't produce it. They can't. It's not in their nature. It's not who they are. So you have a very serious problem. Jesus in Matthew 12:33, again talking to the Pharisees, says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. And then he says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For out of the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. That's the false teachers again. You just produce evil. That's all that can come out because your hearts are evil. And so he makes an application of that in verse 45. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of the evil treasure in his heart implied, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Whatever's in your heart is what comes out. A good man has a changed heart. An evil man does not. The good man here then represents the righteous, represents the kingdom child, the regenerated, the truly good man whose heart the Lord has changed or even replaced. In the language of Ezekiel 36, he's given him a new heart, the language of Jeremiah 31, 33. And because he's been transformed on the inside, he brings forth what is good. And what comes out of his mouth is good, and it represents the goodness of his heart, having been transformed by God. On the other hand, the evil man has an evil heart, and so what comes out of his mouth is only evil. Not only out of his mouth, but in his conduct. The mouth is just sort of the first place that evil shows up. It's the easiest place to manifest your nature. Much easier to say things that are representative of your nature than to do them. So be careful who you follow, folks. Be careful who your teacher is. The world is full of teachers, spiritual terrorists, hiding in apparently safe places, dispensing spiritual anthrax, and doing it in a way that is so deceptive and so subtle that people are literally inhaling it gladly. And in the end, they wind up in the pit because their teachers are blind, they are earthly, they are hypocritical, and they are evil. And what they produce is the same blindness, the same earthiness, the same hypocrisy, and the same evil that is characteristic of their own lives. So Jesus is saying, why don't you follow me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, said in John 14, 6. Jesus has clear sight. Jesus is God. The message is from God. Jesus is pure righteousness, no hypocrisy. And his life is sinless. And he produces righteousness in those who follow him. So who are you following? Who's your spiritual teacher? Serious choice. The most serious you'll ever make, ever, in all your life, because of the implications in eternity. Father, we thank you again for your word this morning, for the simple, straightforward, and penetrating, unforgettable teaching of Jesus on this matter, of the danger of following the wrong spiritual teacher. Father, may everyone here follow Christ, Jesus, and those who uphold his word and who exalt him as the only way, truth, life. And may we know that there is no salvation in any other name. No man comes to you but by him. And if anyone loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed. You couldn't have made it more clear. So, as you said to them that day, who were gathered calling themselves disciples, if you're going to call me Lord, then come all the way, embrace me and me alone, and do what I say, and you will escape the judgment. To that end we pray, for those who hear this message, in the Savior's name, amen.
That ends today's look at what you might call the ID photo of a true Christian, someone who's taken hold of the keys to the kingdom. That's the title of John MacArthur's current study here on Grace to You. You know, there will always be people who teach error and in one way or another deny biblical truth, but there will also be folks who love the truth, hunger for it, and support it. John, I know you have a letter there that illustrates that point.
Well, you know, Carl, somebody said to me the other day, our pastor doesn't teach the Bible, and we have a group of people in our church who just hunger for the Word. And I said, yeah, they have a name. They're called Christians. Christians. Christians hunger for the Word. We're like babes who desire the pure milk of the Word. That's because we have a new nature. We have a new disposition. We have a new heart, to borrow the Old Testament terminology. And we know where our food is. We want the bread of life. We hunger for that. How important it is then that God's people be fed. Here's a wonderful letter along that line from Martin. Martin writes, I live in Norway, and your Bible teaching has reached this truth-poor country. I can't speak for the whole of Norway, but I can speak for the community I'm part of. In this last year, God has given me the great joy from the Bible, though sometimes the Bible is hard to understand. I need good teachers, people who have walked further than me. Thankfully, I had one scripture-loving friend tell me about this great webpage called gty.org. That's us. Another Christian friend told me about a book on women called 12 Extraordinary Women. And another friend bought the MacArthur Study Bible, and in a local Christian newspaper, I see ads for your book, A Tale of Two Sons. Your biblical teaching seems to have infiltrated the west coast of Norway. My Christian friends and I receive great biblical truth from your website. God answered my prayers. Thank you for preaching the truth. I'll be praying and thanking God for you. That's from Martin. We're humbled by the breadth of the ministry God has given to Grace to you. Thanks for your partnership, and thanks for your prayers. And if you haven't checked out gty.org, do it now.
As God enables, we'll continue unleashing His truth in Norway, in North America, and across the globe. By standing with us, you have a part in bringing God's truth to folks just like yourself and equipping them to serve Christ in their homes, their churches, their neighborhoods. To express your support or to download today's message, which is free of charge, please get in touch today. The mailing address here is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. When you express your support, keep in mind that we also want to hear your personal story. We want to know how God has used Grace to You to help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. You might even hear John read your letter in an upcoming broadcast. So drop us a note today at Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or send an email to letters@gty.org. And make sure you visit the Grace to You website, gty.org. That is the home to 3,000 of John's sermons, including all 7 from John's current study called The Keys to the Kingdom. Those are all free in the MP3 format. Simply log on to gty.org and start downloading. And to register for the Truth Matters event that's coming up in September, go online to truthmattersconference.org. That's all one word, truthmattersconference.org. And now for John MacArthur, our broadcast engineer, Jay Morissette, and the entire staff, keep in mind that you can hear Grace to You television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch online at gty.org. And then please come back for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. What's the ultimate religious decision, and have you made that decision? Find out when John MacArthur continues the study called The Keys to the Kingdom on tomorrow's Grace to You.